Here's a commentary on session 2 of the Waking Down Recitation and Commentary, considering the prologue, breaking down the encryption of fundamental human confusion and separateness. I want to start with the end here. So this, we're near the end. So this way is now ready to grow into a much more visible availability in the world at large. It'll take this whole book, many others, for us to even begin to communicate our excitement about it. What's the essence of that excitement? We feel we've broken the encryption of fundamental human confusion and separateness. We sense we've punched in the access code for a wholesale transformation of human life and culture in a truly democratic, voluntary, natural manner. And then further invitations to that. So, I'm pretty sure it's not possible today to convey the excitement that so many of us had at that time. I mean, we really did. We really did feel that bringing this book out, just getting it out there a little bit, people were going to catch on, they were going to come around, that so many seekers had been working so hard and, like me, had been given this ball and chain to carry of the assumption only a few in any generation are going to be able to get to enlightenment, awakening, self-realization. Count yourself lucky to just be able to practice. You know, so what if you've got 500 or 5,000 more lifetimes? You should be grateful. And I appreciate the gratitude factor and the brilliance and beauty of the traditions, but that's a heavy ball and chain. We thought we'd crack the code, and all we had to do was let people know that most people really were and are motivated to awaken. Well, there are at least a couple of things that we weren't counting on. One is that most people who have been involved in especially traditional approaches to enlightenment, awakening, self-realization, actually most likely weren't and aren't motivated to actually go through the awakening, that they ostensibly, purportedly, avowedly even desire. What became evident over the years is that that's not what most people, even today, are really desiring, but it's also true that most people, even if they do desire that, aren't going to trust some guy out in California, a ragtag group of friends, many of whom, like the lead guy, had given up on or proved themselves incapable of sustaining more traditional practices. It's too great a leap for most people to be able to make. Most people to this very day prefer their access to whatever shifts or transformations they're going to go through to come more through the traditions of old, the teachings that have been given in the past, that have reliably sustained a life of good practice. Yeah, the Buddhist Eightfold Path, the right livelihood, the right this, the right that. Give people a structure that, as a matter of fact, isn't white hot, but is reliably approachable and exposure to which one can readily modulate so that you don't get more transformative juice or fire than you may be counting on. And then there was just the factor of our difficulty in finding a way to communicate this teaching, which here, I'm approaching the 23rd anniversary of my awakening in December of this year, 2015. And to this day, I could not tell you how to make Waking Down or Waking Down in Mutuality more popular than it is presently being. All through these years, I've studied and attempted various approaches to quote-unquote marketing, borrowing from the Buddhist languaging. I prefer to call it right notification, letting people know what's available. We've never done very well at it. I find the karmas of the whole situation at least curious, to some degree, no doubt about it, disappointing. I had an entrepreneurial mentor who coaches people. His name is Ted Nicholas, coaches people on, among other things, how to write books and get the word out there, marketing, etc. And he used to refer to, when you write a book and you've completed it and you've gotten it printed, and now you're about to take it out to the world. He says, people think it's going to be the calm before the storm, but then they discover to their disappointment that actually it's just the calm before the calm. Yeah. Oh, boy. So Waking Now went through that. We printed up 5,500 copies of it in early 1998, and yeah, I was figuring, okay, probably take us 2-3 years. People are going to, there's going to be some word of mouth out there. People are going to be excited. And, you know, it's like, hey, guess what? It works. We've cracked the code. We've broken the encryption of fundamental human confusion and separateness. You know, people are awakening relatively rapidly. It's happening. I mean, a year before this book came out, in early 1997, the first dozen of us who had awakened gathered in one of the women's apartments, and we all cracked open some champagne. The only time of the day we could find to do it was, I think, in the afternoon. We had a little champagne and acknowledged, you know, wow, it's working. And to me, it was a very big deal because the pace of the awakenings was slower than I had been hoping for. I was assuming this thing was going to exponentialize itself. And as it turned out, it took the first, I awakened in late 92, so that was a little over 5 years later, to get a dozen who were actually hanging in place. We'd already had a schism in the work that people had gone in a different direction. They didn't like the tantric extremes of my approach and felt suspicious of it. And theirs became what I would call a more classically hyper-masculine approach in many ways, though they were doing some new things for sure. But, you know, the work already was, it had its rough and tumble Wild West sortings out going on, and here we had a dozen of us who seemed to be pretty focused in our commitment, as I wrote in this prologue, or about 10, at least 10, who had entered into second birth or divinely human realization of being to such a degree that they were seeing, they were starting their own adept work. Several already have. We had begun in 1997, after his awakening, Ted Strauss suggested to me that, you know, he he offered, he said, well, what do you think would be better for me to do? Get into my art, or there was something else he was talking about, or create a workshop, and take the lead role in creating a workshop for us. And I said, let's do that. And so that was the beginning of the Waking Down Weekends, which we continued for quite a few years. I don't remember when exactly we stopped doing Waking Down Weekends. Ah, I must admit there's a sadness about the diverging that's been going on the last couple of years. But so these things go. So, taking a while longer, I could probably, in commentary, I could go on for half an hour to an hour about most every paragraph in this prologue. It is just packed with material that is, in effect, kind of summary. It's almost as if every sentence or so is a soundbite to something that a little fractal world of considerations we could go into in greater detail. And, right, it's a prologue, so the whole rest of the book is going to unpack the material that's in the prologue and that was in the introduction. What if it's possible to make realization popular? So I'll just do a little bit today, and we will be unraveling these spools as we go. Not into do-it-yourselfism, in terms of ultimately transformative practice. Say ultimate. That's a hard word to justify. Intensively transformative practice. As a curious case in point, Ted Strauss is, as I understand it, developing, and at this stage, sometime soon, about to launch an approach to awakening that is significantly automated online with all kinds of modules to address different questions and so on and so forth. I know very few details about it beyond that, almost none. Bravo, go for it, to that and to other approaches where people are trying to find ways to permit individuals enough concentrated access to information that's in the same framework of what their questions and concerns and issues are that they can go through into some kind of basic awakening and have it be self-sustaining. Why not? I'm not, at this stage, 15 plus years later, no, 17, 18 years later. I'm not saying that a more or less do-it-yourself on your own approach do-it-yourself on your own would literally imply needing no access to teachings and so forth. So in that sense, even an online program to help you awaken that's relatively automated isn't exactly do it yourself. But, you know, it's curious. I mean, that phrase has now become DIY, and with the internet having exploded into such a democratic empowerment of just about everything, access to just about every kind of information, DIY is the way to go. And as a matter of fact, for other aspects of the total process that Linda Ma and I are putting together for Human Sun Institute, we do and will continue to welcome people to, in effect, be doing pieces of the process on their own, the total process of life improvement or life enhancement as well as life transformation. But the intensive life transformation work and even its most essential process as communicated in the book Waking Down and the Human Sun teachings, which I described, mentioned in session one. To me, this is, I'm still not trying to come up with a process that goes in the direction of do-it-yourself on your own. Waking down in mutuality is not, the mutuality aspect isn't an add-on. It's not a secondary principle. It enshrines and grants access to and empowers a primary pole of our, I'm trying to avoid using the word bipolar with its clinically, psychologically compromised meaning. It's a two-poled process of self plus other. And in, at the essence of the great mystery here is simultaneous sameness, oneness, onlyness, unity of the ground and mystery of what is and what is becoming, and also otherness. So the principle of relatedness is the essence of mutuality, and it's a process, therefore, that in this sense harkens back to tradition and how great awakening was traditionally accessed for thousands of years, which basically, you know, we didn't have the internet, we didn't even have the printing press. Most people were barely, if at all, literate. And so much of the work had to be done face-to-face, but so much of it could only have been done face-to-face. So there's no substitute in it for personal connectedness with one or more living adepts or awakened teacher transmitters of that very transformation. And back in 1998, when the book came out, I had never been at liberty to try to manage this awakening on a mass scale. It requires direct intimate contact and access. Here's a key point. If you're going to wake down all the way into, I remarked on this phrase as I got to it, the ecstatic murk of conscious embodiment, you're going to need qualified help at the ready. My orientation was, I didn't want people to have access to this work if there wasn't what I was calling at the time a qualified adept who was transmitting that awakened condition of conscious embodiment and competent to teach with respect to all three of the aspects, the waking part, the down part, the mutuality part. And as you see in this book, I don't think the phrase waking down in mutuality ever was used in this book. I'm pretty sure it was not. I talked about the white hot way of mutuality or waking down and treated mutuality as a very key principle, but didn't link those three terms together in the way that I'm clearly doing now and that we've been doing for quite some time. You're also going to need true friends, and you need to be met and held in the depths. And this is not a substitute for professional psychological work and self-development with the help of a psychological, someone who's psychologically competent as a therapist or psychoanalyst. This process is more about the recognition of one's patterning as well as the energetics of one's habit existence. from that increasingly awakened disposition of conscious presence, spirit awareness, and the integration of the total being on that basis. So it doesn't have the same intention or methodology as professional psychological work, and in fact, from early on, and certainly to this very day, Linda Ma and I, and others who have been trained in this general field, heartily encourage people to have access not only to a competent teacher, but also teacher transmitter, but also to a competent psychological professional. There's a disclaimer there. But also, the presence of others, sangha, in the Sanskrit wording from the Buddhist tradition. So in effect, there's the Buddha figure or the awakened teacher transmitter. There is the sangha or the community of those who are similarly disposed and practicing. And then there is, of course, also the teaching, the dharma, and I talk about this dharma as being beyond, fundamentally beyond, the hyper-masculine dharmas that have come before. And I'm making a point here that I want to mention now. We will go much more into hyper-masculinity, starting with its chapter 7 that's titled Beyond Hypermasculine Dharmas or Life Ways of Superimposed and Formulaic Seeking. It's one of the most important chapters of any book I've written, and end of the whole teaching. But I say here on page 10 of Waking Down, hypermasculine points, dharmas are expressions of the fundamental laws and truths that govern our existence. Hypermasculine points to every kind of reactive, dissociative, self-divided, idealistic, or conceptually based stance we human beings chronically take in the midst of our bewildering lives. So that is the primary meaning of hypermasculine dissociation. Later on, I came up with a simpler phrase to describe that same dissociation, the spirit matter split. But the main point here is that at the very least, the primary meaning, in some ways I prefer it to be the only meaning, but I accept it's the secondary meaning as well. The primary meaning points to a condition rather than a quality of action. Okay? So it points to this primal dissociation, this primal split that appears to be operative even from the roots of our consciousness. And sure enough, takes actually many years, may take many lifetimes of outgrowing as a disposition, even when we have entered into some fundamental realization of the great oneness or onlyness of being and of all that is becoming. And if that seems to be a mind-cracking contradiction rather than a fairly refined paradox at the moment, well, good, hold that. And we will come back to it, I'm sure, again and again through this sequence of conversations. The second meaning, hypermasculine, also refers to every kind of formulaic, superimposed, aggressive alteration of self, others, and world that we conceive and attempt to execute in order to achieve harmony, happiness, or fulfillment of any and all kinds. Then I make a statement that I'm going to want to actually in this commentary qualify a little bit. Every meditation technique, every psychological and physical regimen for well-being comes under this umbrella of hypermasculine dharma. Well, in principle, if every meditation technique and physical or psychological regimen is based in a philosophical disposition and deeper than that, a whole being condition that is even significantly still carrying that DNA of hypermasculine dissociation, of this spirit matter split, then yes, that's true of every technique, meditation technique and psychological and physical regimen for well-being. The sentence itself, every meditation technique and every such regimen comes under this umbrella of hypermasculine dharma. I think I needed to flesh out the connection between those two parts of the definition. Many people today, I mean, it's been what I call street dharma. Can't remember if I introduced this in session one, but street dharma is the meanings that we assign to specific terms, phrases, concepts. Memes, M-E-M-E-S, that are actually rooted in our relatively unconsidered interpretation of them and are not so much rooted in the actual intended meaning given by whoever put it forth when you encountered that term or phrase or meme. And so in the street dharma of the waking down world, hypermasculine has come almost exclusively to refer to ways that we do things. Oh, that I was so hypermasculine when I was, you know, practicing blah, 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 blah. Or, you know, that was a really hypermasculine way to talk to so-and-so. Typically meaning aggressive, unnecessarily penetrative, agenda-driven. So, you know, it is something you're imposing on a situation. It's got all that kind of type A, quote-unquote, masculine, hyper-masculine, excessively masculine energy if we're using those terms, hyper-masculine and feminine. I mean, we're already in trouble with that typological language, but I'm going to leave it intact, and as we go further in the commentaries, we'll chew on this some more. In any case, with respect to the teaching, in the Buddhist tradition, it talks about the triple gem, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. We could say teacher or adept, teaching, community. Talking about the teachings here, I make the point. I'm not asking you to believe what I'm saying. Don't want you to just take it at face value. Kick the tires. See if it's true for you. But really do the work. Don't just, well, let me say it this way. Do what you will. That's your prerogative. That's not under my control. I wouldn't want it to be. But I would hope that you will give this a very serious, intensive study that goes on for a long time. Part of why, at the very least, there's going to be 50 sessions of this course. It'll go on for a year or so. Really, really expose yourself to it if it's a matter of doubt or skepticism for you. And really also make your conviction very strong, very well founded, very anchored in deep understanding, not a superficial exposure. So I talk about how the way of waking down is different. I enjoyed when I was reading aloud. It's a falling, a yielding into such a deep acceptance of things as they are that the deeper reality of all that is, capital letters, reveals itself, and thus prompts a spontaneous transformation of things as they have been. So we'll get to that more when we talk about green lighting later in the book. That deep acceptance mysteriously empowers shifts. Talk about the matrix of these real relationships and mutuality. becoming vulnerably accountable to others who, like yourself, are committed to the love, investigation, and expression of true and total being. It becomes an alchemical sanctuary, I say, of this superheated or white-hot process of transformation. I'll come back to that thing about, yeah, what makes this way of mutuality white-hot? Okay, here it is. Expose yourself to it. Let your heart and whole being be touched. You'll find out. Well, as a matter of fact, some people don't find that out. The phrase white-hot, its meaning eludes them. And I'll say more about that also as we go. But just to qualify this here, as we're getting started, yeah, expose yourself to the work as well as the teachings. Let your heart and whole being be touched. And you very likely will discover that doing this in mutuality with others so profoundly inclined and committed does become an alchemical sanctuary of a, in any case, super activating process. That was our discovery early on. Wow, this thing works. Not only does it work, it's often for many of us all we can do to keep up with the activations that it's continually prompting. I point out that the being force that makes all this possible, not only possible but actual, didn't fall out of the sky. I'm the one who initially manifested it. This, since my own awakening in 1992, at that writing and publication, five or so years later, I had already greatly refined its transmission and expression. Already, as I described in session one, the initial group of teachers had come forward, and we were beginning then the co-development of a next expression of these basic teachings. It's still true today that the teachings in this book, Waking Down, do characterize what Linda Ma and I continue to teach as Waking Down, now that we're the ones who will technically be the teachers of Waking Down again, and perhaps authorizing others to become such teachers again. We'll have to see how this next evolutionary expression unfolds itself. But as you'll see as we go through the book, there are also pieces of these teachings that never did get into what became the kind of general, wasn't exactly a catechism, but the generally agreed upon principles of Waking Down as it has been collectively taught until this recent bifurcation of dharmas has gotten underway. The way Waking Down is structured to grow by the network and we find natural. And a sort of network awakening. And that's still the case. And what remains to be seen, how we live it out, you know, the other side of the living out of Waking Down, as Linda and I want to encourage everyone to understand, is, and I'll be repeating this somewhat mantrically, what only those we designate to do so can do is call themselves Waking Down teachers and call their work by the brand names, quote unquote, legal language, Waking Down or Waking Down in Mutuality. Everybody has unlimited access to these teachings, these principles. Everybody can say, I practice according to the, principles of Waking Down in Mutuality that I've learned, and you can say you've learned it from wherever you've learned it from. If you're listening to me talk about this book, you will have gotten it at least to some degree from me and from this book. But the restriction there only relates to, quote-unquote, brand name usage in terms of how people label their own work and what they teach. It does not go to others' capacity to benefit and say so and use these principles. And Linda Mon and I hope many, many people will continue to do so. And that's why I'm making these commentaries. So yeah, the prologue ended with this excitement that we had then. And we've broken a code here. It's interesting. What am I excited about now? I'm not anticipating that anytime soon great numbers of people are going to gravitate into this approach. And we'll get into some of the reasons for that as we go. I've already indicated some of them when talking about how difficult it is. There's what I call an essential conservatism to the human soul. That people who will do all kinds of things with their bodies, they'll have all kinds of bizarre sexual practices, and they'll pierce and cut and hang things from their skin and tap themselves up one side and down the other and jump off cliffs and go hundreds of feet underwater and, you know, take all kinds of risks socially and financially and all kinds of ways that are relatively peripheral. But when it comes to the core and to the soul, to the most intimate heart and spiritual reality of our existence, this is, as Ken Wilber acknowledged years ago, it's a messy process and not one that one can readily control. What gets activated includes the feelings of things that are happening that aren't within your complete control. How you respond to them hopefully will be something you can manage well. We do try to provide all the optimal forms of help we can. So, we invite you to explore our approach, question it and us to your heart's content. Join us if you wish. No one, no single body owns this way. Everybody manifests his or its unique expression. Conscious mutuality requires and also makes inevitable democratic gatherings of awakening and awakened beings. Such beings revel in the spontaneous consummation of the marriage of consciousness and matter in every body and in the worlds wherein these body forms appear. Together they prompt, I sense, some kind of super intensifying transformation of everything and everyone. Again, white hot. So that's also predictive or anticipatory of something that may be, who knows, how many generations, centuries, millennia, who knows how many years beyond. This is not talking about stuff that's going to happen tomorrow. At that level, the transformation of everything and everyone, it's probably inconceivable, but it does appear to me that this work, among many other things happening today, but in a particular kind of way, has broken a code, has penetrated an encryption of fundamental human confusion and separateness, and has a major role, even if it stays relatively inconspicuous in the general mainstream world, even mainstream spiritual world, for who knows however long. This work it does appear to me and to many others to be contributing something of great import and significance. And welcome to unlocking that code for yourself if you haven't already. Blessings on your journey, and I'll talk to you in session 3.